This is Melissa Bartell, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub.
It's day 14 of the Dog Days of Podcasting. I have a sinus infection. When do I not have a sinus infection? I had dental work last week. I had a bridge installed to fill the gaping hole that has been in my mouth since February. And then I had like 3 months of allergic inflammatory bronchitis, and I had to wait for the extraction from the tooth to heal, so I couldn't have the bridge done until like last week, and it woke up a sinus infection, so I have no voice. So it's a good thing that I have all these wonderful friends who have read half my stuff for me. Otherwise, I would not be able to do Dog Days at all. But it's day 14, so before I introduce my guest reader, I have some little bits of admin to do. First of all, I have some birthdays that I missed. Fellow Leos, Steve Pritchard, happy birthday. And fellow mermaid, Christine Fiore, who read the other day, happy birthday. Okay, now that that's out of the way, this is another story from my June challenge. And it's called School Figures. It is not entirely autobiographical. Parts of it are, parts of it are not, and it is read by the always charming Charlotte Kennedy.
You are 6 years old, and you're standing on the rubber mat at the edge of the ice rink. In your head, you're wearing a pretty skirt and leotard, and your skates are white with shiny silver blades like Dorothy Hamill's. But your outfit is not a cute skating dress. You're wearing a tracksuit over tights so that you stay warm, and your hair isn't cut into a sassy wedge, but twisted into two braids. And your skates are not the pristine white that they wear in the Olympics. They're boys' skates, black and heavy with double blades. They're clunky and ugly and make you feel slow and clumsy, which in truth you are, but in your head you know every jump and turn. You even know how to do the school figures, the perfect figure eights that the skaters have to execute in order to demonstrate their technical proficiency. You are 21 years old, and you're sitting on a folding chair on a rubber mat in front of the barrier that separates the main seats of the arena from the ice of the rink. Your best friend from college is in the seat next to you. It's winter break, and she's house-sitting for her parents while they're in Europe, and you're there for her birthday weekend. She just turned 22, and this trip to what stars on ice is your gift to her, because you both love figure skating, but neither of you actually skate anymore. You're kind of reeling because a few hours before, while you were eating burgers and drinking beer at a really great diner near the arena, she came out to you. And you're not sure if you reacted the right way because no one's ever come out to you before. It is 1992 after all, and this isn't a common experience for you yet. Though as you get older, and you don't know this yet, you will become the person your friends come out to about their sexuality, gender identity, and more. If Harry Potter had been published at that time, you would define yourself as the world's secret keeper. Except what Cora had told you isn't a secret exactly, it's just a thing. A fact. And you don't think you gave it the respect it deserved. Were you supposed to stand up in the diner and hug her and say congratulations? Or was your actual reaction telling her that you're honored that she told you and that you're happy to listen to whatever she needs to talk about, but you're not the best to advise because except for some brief experimentation, you've really only ever driven stick, the right tack to take. You're not sure. You can't be sure. You can only be there. But the music is starting, so you resolve to put it aside for the moment. Maybe the feminist bookstore downtown has cards for this, and you can send her one when you get back home. You're 38, and your husband is in Tokyo on business and won't be home for 3 days. And you know something is off because you're late. And that way women sometimes are. Even though you haven't missed a pill because you stopped trying. 38 is too old to try, right? So you get a test and are shocked when it flashes pregnant at you, and the digital tests these days leave nothing to interpretation. There's a fluttering in your stomach that you can't quite name. It might be fear or anxiety or happiness or delight or a little bit of all of them, with a touch of wistfulness at your partner, your best friend, is halfway around the world and many time zones away, and you can't interrupt him to tell him. You take a picture of the stick and the result, and you text it to him and wait. For 3 days, the two of you are long-distance giddy, and you imagine his homecoming and how you'll greet him, and how you'll send ultrasound pictures to your parents and his on Mother's Day. And then, when you're on the way to the airport to pick him up, the cramping starts. And by the time you park, you know that your 3 days of blissful hope were all you were going to get. He's tired, but he takes over the steering wheel so you can close your eyes and let the tears come on the way to urgent care. You're their last appointment. They close at 7, and they give you warm blankets and coddle you as they run their test, but the results are clear: miscarriage. You're not surprised. You've had 2 others. But you really thought this time it would stick. And you're 38. So when you and your husband have dried the last of your tears and his, you tell him that you're done trying. He finds a skating competition on television, and you curl up together with hot tea to watch it. And you confess that you always wanted a little girl to watch skating with, the way you watched it with your mother. You're 50, and you're hosting a Ukrainian orphan for the summer. You got the idea from a friend of yours who did it a few years ago, and you always wanted a child, but never really wanted a baby. Then, too, you and your husband are in a place where you're financially stable. You have a house with empty rooms. If not now, then when? Her name is Natalia, and she dreams of being a figure skater. Using a translation program, you ask her if she knows how to skate, and she says there's a pond they skate on at their school, but their skates aren't very good. It's summer, but there's a rink at the mall, so you find out when the open sessions are and whether or not there are lessons in the summer. And after you and Natalia have had a few days to get to know each other a bit, you tell her you have a surprise. The rental skates at the mall are brown and clunky, and you are reminded of the ugly black skates you had as a child. But then you remember your second pair of skates, which were still used because you were a growing kid, but were white with proper blades, and you take your foster daughter to the pro shop. A soulful Russian with bright blue eyes crouches in front of the sandy-haired teenager, and at first she's thrilled because his language is similar to hers. But then he remembers he's required to speak English, and so is she. You tell him to fit her with a basic pair, student skates, and he understands. They're not professional skates, but they're better than the rentals, and they're hers to keep, you tell her. You realize, as the salesman laces them onto her feet, that they are the first thing she's ever owned outright. You decide to buy a pair for yourself as well. You are 50 years old, and you are standing on the rubber mat at the edge of an ice rink. But you're not wearing a pretty skating dress. You're wearing jeans and a tank top and a hoodie. And you're holding the hand of a skinny Ukrainian girl who is only yours for the summer, but is somehow the child of your soul.
Opening and closing music is a mix of Chris Zabriskie's The Oceans Continue to Rise from the Free Music Archive, and a clip of whales singing off the coast of French Polynesia provided by Kivoy to freesound.com. The Bathtub Mermaid, Tales from the Tub, is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartel and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 International license. For detailed show notes, including my contact information, please visit my website at bathtubmermaid.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.